Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We continue getting down to business and linking it to our previous conversation. We're speaking about year-end functions and how we should conduct ourselves. And as we know, alcohol typically is a precursor sometimes for just bad behavior and conduct that we do see, especially when individuals do overindulge. It's the overindulgence that's a consequence of that. But we've also now shifted our conversation just to understand what are the distinct preferences that South Africans do have when it comes to their choice of alcoholic beverage and celebratory trends. One particular entity and person who continues to follow through with key trends and how they actually speak to our buying power, the brands we associate with, and maybe even give us some insight into the different demographics is Andrew Fulton, director at 8020, to help us unpack some of these numbers. Andrew, so lovely to speak to you again, sir.
Nice to have you back on the show. We missed you.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back. Thank you so much, Andrew. I must tell you, there's some interesting trends I picked up in the US, but I think South Africa is still my favorite market to discuss and to live in. And this does speak to your latest report, Celebrations and Milestones. Now, culturally across the world, we love celebrations and milestones, and typically alcohol remains a key feature of these, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, in South Africa in particular, one of the dubious distinctions we've got is one of the higher alcohol consumptions globally. We're in the top 10. So it is certainly a huge part of people's day-to-day life and celebrations.
And maybe let's just unpack what that does look like in terms of the preferences that we have. When I think of celebrations, I think of cheers, glasses clinking, and champagne, perhaps, or something with bubbles being a prominent feature. But that's not always the case. What are we seeing in terms of the trends here?
So one of the things we looked at is we wanted to just see what the correlations were between what people drink and what they're doing. So maybe not so much a celebration, it's just a pastime or a hobby. And, we had this assumption that it really started with book club. And we thought, okay, at a book club, it's definitely going to be champagne and wine. And we were correct on that one. But it's also spirit coolers and liqueur. Bird watchers, highly correlated with craft gin and vodka. Campers, champagne and brandy. Those who have their parties at home are brandy and cider. And then finally, gamblers and sports bettors, they drink beer, both craft and regular. So that's what we looked at celebrations in that way.
Is there a correlation between the activity and the choice of beverage? And what actually fuels or drives that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing about data. I mean, there's a correlation, and it could be anything. It could be the actual real defining variable could be their age. Certainly with cane, if you think about a bird watcher, they tend to be over 50, as do cane drinkers, average age 44. Whereas people who have parties at home may be a lot younger, drinking ciders, and so it could just be the age. But it was just interesting to see how these just different activities correlate with certain alcohol preferences.
It is so interesting because I can actually see that image in my mind right now, bird watchers versus Gen Zs and who themselves are younger and actually looking at particular ciders. I'm also intrigued to find out how much of, I guess, marketing techniques that are undertaken by alcohol companies or beverage manufacturers and if that also drives a particular narrative.
Well, one thing we looked at, because we thought it was quite interesting, is I certainly enjoy wine. My wife and I drink a fair bit of wine. And we noticed that Woolies had launched a range of tinned wines, which to me seems strange. I mean, I've never drunk beer out of a tin. It seems like an odd choice. But when we looked at the data, once again, you can use secondary data. We used maps and we used YouGov data for this particular study. And it's a great source of getting insights and understanding how consumers behave and therefore, building the revenue of your business. But we noticed that wealthier demographics skew towards tinned wines. So it's getting, it's got about half as many consumers as sparkling wine right now. Mm-hmm. And it's the higher LSMs and Gen X couples that seem to be the ones that are drinking it. So we bought some Limestone Hill, we brought it in a tin, we bought it in a bottle, we did a blind taste test, and I couldn't tell the difference. So I was pleasantly surprised drinking out of a new format.
This is going to be so interesting. Next time people celebrate, I'll be looking at them and just evaluating these demographic dynamics. One line that stood out for me in terms of the interesting skews in terms of demographics, single and divorced people are more likely to drink than their married counterparts. This came out of your report. Tell us more.
And that's the other fun thing about data, I think, is hypothesizing, like why is this the case? And so, you know, the most obvious one to me is perhaps single and divorced people are out socializing more. You know, they're out in bars, they're out in nightclubs, they're kind of getting out there and meeting friends and having a more sort of alcohol fueled lifestyle than say married couples. But that's absolutely one of the findings. Also, younger generations, Generation Y, average age 34, much more likely to drink than baby boomers, average age 66.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And we do see that in certain terms of some of the numbers that do come out. Whilst our individual behavior in terms of demographics and people that we might be similar to plays an influence here, this does add up when it comes to the global and industry economic contribution that and the celebrations that do bring about to the economy. I'm keen to understand a figure that's been quoted in your report, 56.5 billion rand into the national GDP, all on the back of celebrations, especially without wine. Tell us more.
Yeah, so South Africa is the seventh largest wine producer globally. And yeah, that industry adds 56.5 billion to the national GDP. And it also employs about 250,000 people. The other really interesting fact that I was just looking at before, because there's a release of a paper on the excise tax and beer. You know, beer contributes 35% of excise revenue. I mean, that's an astounding figure when you think about it, because, you know, this is, you know, compared to, say, fuel, cigarettes, you know, luxury goods, 35% comes from beer, and 25% of every beer you drink is going straight to the government. It's an astounding figures. So once again, it's, you know, it's got that, like, the two-part retirement system. It's got its positives and negatives. It's great that it's opening up money for people to kind of deal with their current crises, but Does it open up for a larger crisis later, further down the road? You know, alcohol is a similar thing. You enjoy it responsibly, it's a fantastic thing, but to excess it causes problems, like you heard in your last segment.
Yeah. This might seem like an obvious question, Andrew, but your insights will be valued here. As we enter the festive season and the holiday period in South Africa, is this typically where we do witness heightened or higher levels of alcohol consumption under celebratory circumstances?
Absolutely. I mean, you'll notice it just with the number of roadblocks out on the streets. You know, yeah. The police know it as well, that people are going to be consuming. There's all the Christmas parties for those that are celebrating Christmas. It's the festive end of season. Every company is going to have a year-end party. And you know, as we started the segment with, you know, alcohol being, South Africa being in the top 10 of alcohol consumers on the planet, it is a way that people choose to celebrate. And it is going to be certainly ramped up from now until New Year's.
And maybe you could remind us of that figure there, Andrew, just in terms of alcohol consumption trends in South Africa. How do we rank? How do we fare? How much do we drink as South Africans?
I actually didn't have that. But we were eighth in the 2020 rankings. When the other interesting thing is seven of the top 10 are African countries. So we're just behind Uganda and Tanzania. But yeah, it's a big one. But I took the full amount out of this piece. I don't have it sitting in front of me. Sure. But yeah, I mean, make no mistake, it's a large amount of money spent on alcohol.
Ooh, South Africans. Well, at least we'll say we're contributing to the tax base, as you mentioned, 35%.
Absolutely.
The cost of beer does contribute to excise tax, as long as we do so responsibly.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Well, as long as we're not drinking the pineapple beer.
Yeah. You took us back to COVID days. Oh, boy, what a time. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Andrew.
Great chatting, Angugu.
Likewise, that's Andrew Fulton, who's the director at 8020. 8020 is a consulting business that is focused on consumer insights and data science, essentially helping you and I to understand what consumer trends we participate in, how does it speak to business and how they do their work, and particular brands we might align with. But such important and interesting metrics that came out of this report. As Andrew's mentioned, South Africa does feature in the top eight in terms of alcohol consumption, countries in the world. So we enjoy a drink or two. And as has been mentioned in terms of the results, it's interesting to see that there's certain categories of alcohol that are preferred by certain demographics. So sparkling wine, typically older couples, white, female, and couples typically enjoy that, versus boxed wine and ciders, typically seen by younger generations, especially Gen Zs and Gen Ys that also come to the fore. And a key theme that also came through, very interesting, single and divorced people are more likely to drink more than their married counterparts. Share your thoughts on this one, the demographics, the dynamics and trends that we see when it comes to not only alcohol consumption, but what we do in a celebratory mood, time and themes when it comes to alcohol consumption in South Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.